So let's open our Bibles now for our scripture reading. In our lesson, let's open to the book of Romans, and let's go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week. Romans chapter 1. Last week we read verses 18 through 23. Today I am going to read verses 24 through the rest of the chapter, which is verse number 32. So if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse number 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Let's pray. Father, I pray a blessing upon this reading. I pray a blessing upon the message that I'm about to give. But Lord, I'm praying that the words that I just read here will sink into each and every one of our hearts and anybody else that may be listening to this message here today. Transform us, Lord, with your word, because that's what your word does. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. I've titled today's message, "You Can Go Your Own Way." Do those six words sound familiar? If you were around in 1976, early 77, those were the words of a Fleetwood Mac song, "You Can Go Your Own Way," sung by Lindsey Buckingham. But go your own way. You can go your own way. Folks, we are living in troubled times. I think we all know that. The United States of America has become a substitute society. We have substituted good for evil and evil for good. We have suppressed the truth in unrighteousness with our views on abortion, sex, gender, government, and all the other commandments that we have violated as a nation. And no one is held accountable anymore for their evil actions. And because of all this, I am convinced that God's wrath is being unleashed on our country today. And the bad news is this, that those of us who might be Christians and those of us who are being obedient to the Word of God we're going to suffer God's wrath along with everyone else. It was just like the Israelites who were obedient back in 722 BC and in 575 BC when those nations got exiled to pagan nations. And the good people, those who were obedient, got exiled right along with all the other bad apples who were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Romans 1:18 tells us that God's wrath is being unleashed from heaven to those who suppress the truth. And if America is suppressing the truth, and I believe we are, what will this wrath look like? You might say, I know, it's this coronavirus pandemic. That's his wrath. That's God's judgment on our country. Let me be the first to tell you, no, it's not. Okay? That is not it. And if anybody's telling you that, I would have to disagree. Let's look at the different types of wrath that God can exhibit on people and has exhibited in his word. And I got a whole bunch of fill in the blanks in your bulletin here this morning. And let's fill in a whole bunch of words. And let's look at different types of wrath. The first one, there is eternal wrath. Eternal wrath is the punishment that God will bring upon unbelieving sinners forever in hell. We're all familiar with this. In Matthew 25:46, Jesus says this, "Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." So there is eternal wrath. And this is when he's separating the sheep from the goats. And I think this is pretty straightforward. We kind of understand that. That will be the eternal punishment. Unbelievers, those who do not put their trust in Jesus Christ, will suffer for eternity. And may I remind you, eternity is a long time. Eternal wrath. Let's look at the second one. This is a big word. Eschatological wrath. Eschatological wrath. It's the wrath that God will release at the end of the world, at the end of creation. We can read about this in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 6. And we can read about it a whole lot in the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 18. And it says this is when there will be wars and earthquakes and famines. And we can read all about that eschatological wrath. And this eschatology is the study of end times. So these are the wrath that God will pour out at the end of the age. Eschatological wrath. Number three, there's one that begins with the letter C. Cataclysmic wrath. And cataclysmic wrath would be things like tsunamis, or a volcano eruption, a hurricane, an earthquake, etc. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that every time there's one of these happening, that it's a form of God's wrath. Sometimes nature just happens. But it could be possible. And we know of one certain time when it was possible. It was Genesis chapter 6 through 9. And God sent cataclysmic wrath in the form of a global flood that wiped out every human being except for Noah and his family. So could these natural events, such as those, be a form of God's wrath? They could be, but I'm not going to say each and every one is. The next one's an interesting one. This also begins with the letter C. Consequential wrath. Consequential wrath is the result of what we sow and reap. Okay? It's the result of what we sow and what we reap. If you live a certain lifestyle, you may be setting yourself up for certain forces that will produce judgment in your life. Let me give you a couple examples. One's laziness and gluttony could lead that person into serious health problems. One's greed could lead them into financial woes in a gambling addiction. One's envy could lead them into a deadly confrontation with a jealous spouse. And one's lust and sexual promiscuity could lead them into contracting a venereal disease or AIDS of some sort. Our ungodly actions do have consequences, and it is a form of God's wrath. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8 says this: "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh they will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, on the other hand, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." So there is good news on the other side of that equation. So those are the four ways that God can inflict his wrath on us. But there is a fifth type of wrath, and that's what I want to talk about here this morning. It's kind of similar to consequential wrath. And this fifth type of wrath is what is exactly described here in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32. So what type of wrath is that called? And I'll put it up here on the screen. It's the wrath of abandonment. That's the A word in your bulletin. The wrath of abandonment. It's when God removes his restraining grace and lets us go our own way. Just like this song says, you can go your own way. Yes, we can. So first, I say it's when God removes his restraining grace. Let's define what restraining grace is. Now, I looked everywhere for a definition that I could put up there, and I couldn't find one that I liked, so I made up one, okay? What is restraining grace? It is the grace that God bestows upon all people, which keeps them, the people, from not being as evil as they could be. Do you realize that you're not as bad as you could be? And neither am I. Or the people out there. One of my favorite websites, GodQuestionsGod.org, says this: if God did not restrain the evil that resides in the hearts of all men, hearts which are deceitful and desperately wicked, says Jeremiah 17:9, humanity would have destroyed itself centuries ago. And quote from GodQuestions.org. I like that. That is a good statement to make. So I think you get the picture about restraining grace. You and I, we are not as bad as what we could be. And the people out there are not as bad as what they could be. But what happens when that grace is removed? Next slide. God removing his restraining grace isn't anything new. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus tells his disciples something about the Pharisees. And he says this: let them alone. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And we all know this line. And if a blind man leads a blind man, both fall into what? A pit. They both fall into a pit. But he says, let them alone. God was removing his restraining grace upon the Pharisees. And their unrestrained evil hearts nailed Jesus to a cross. A similar line, this one's actually on the front of your bulletin. In Acts 14:16, the Apostle Paul is in Lystra, and he says this to a group of people. He says this: in the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to Fleetwood Mac. You can go your own way. And he has permitted the nations to go their own ways. So we need to ask, why have nations risen and fallen? And we can read our history books, while we still have history books, and we can read about nations who have risen and then fallen. Why have nations fallen? Because God has allowed them to go their own way, to follow their own foolish hearts. He has abandoned them and allowed them to reap what they want to sow. So let's follow this progress of abandonment in these verses here that we just read. In verses 24 and 26 and 28, everybody needs to remember that. Romans 1, 24, 26, 28. Three times we see this. God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them over. So what does that mean when God gives them over? It means this. It means that God has allowed a culture, a society, to follow their own sinful choices, the choices that that society really desires. And when that happens, God starts removing his restraining grace. And it's not that God is causing the people to sin. We know this. He can't do that. God cannot tempt anybody or cause a person to sin. It's not within his nature to do that. God allows a culture to become exactly what that culture wants to become. And since Americans have chosen religion over relationship, and we found that last week in verses 18 through 23, God has abandoned, now we got some fill in the blanks, God has abandoned America to, verse 24, first of all, to sexual impurity. And I have it underlined up here in verse 24. And isn't this what we began seeing in the 1950s? If you remember last week, I said, when did our nation really start going downhill? And I said, that happened kind of post-World War II, around 1950. What did we begin seeing in the 1950s? We start seeing in the 50s and 60s a sexual revolution. We were given over to impurity. It was the beginning of the Playboy mentality and magazines that exploited sexuality. In the 1960s, that went and turned into free love and sex with whomever and whenever. The 1967 was termed the summer of what? Love. Exactly. This 1967, that summer was termed the summer of love. And we all know the song from the Mamas and Papas, go where you want to go and do what you want to do with whoever you want to go and do it with. Defined a time in our history. It was the time of the sexual revolution. So God turned our country over to that impurity. So what's the next step after a nation, a culture, a society has been turned over to sexual immorality? Verses 26 and 27. Now he turns us over to degrading passions. And we can read verses 26 and 27 up here on the screen. Doesn't this sound familiar? Doesn't this sound like the LGBTQ movement that's going on? It's no longer a sexual revolution out there, folks. Now it is a homosexual revolution. Men with men, Paul talks about. Women with women, Paul talks about. There's no more coming out of the closet anymore. It's now socially acceptable to be gay or lesbian. And now it is demanded by these groups that every one of us, including us, that we agree with their lifestyle, or people like us become haters. So in verse 24, God turns a culture over to a sexual revolution. In verse 26 and 27, he turns the culture next over to a homosexual revolution. So what is the third and final step? in this God removing his restraining grace. It's verse number 28. He turns that culture over to a depraved mind. Some Bible translations may use the word a reprobate mind, or a corrupt mind, or a debased mind, depending on your translation. My NASB uses the word depraved mind. I like that word, depraved. So I looked it up, and the Webster definition is actually inside your bulletin in the top right-hand corner. But a depraved mind is this, to really sum it up. It's a mind that is worthless and useless. A mind that is not good for anything. So I ask, does that sound familiar? Worthless and useless? We have, in the United States of America, worthless and useless governing officials, along with worthless and useless education systems, along with worthless and useless parents who are indoctrinating all of our children on how to make it through life being worthless and useless. Because none of these people have any common sense whatsoever to know the difference between right and wrong. And that, folks, is what we call depravity. People today in America have depraved minds. Let me just give you four quick examples of how we see depravity in the United States of America today. Example number one, a person intentionally kills an unborn baby and does it for convenience sake. And excuse my language, but I'm going to say it. And then men and women parade around Washington, D.C. wearing vagina hats. Okay, you're with me. All right, come on. We're big boys and girls. And they want us to jump on their bandwagon because it's a woman's right to choose? Whatever happened to the baby's right to choose? That's what I ask. Where's the baby's decision in this? Oh, the baby doesn't have a decision. That's what's going on. And then what makes it worse, and you'll hear this next week, you have churches jumping on that bandwagon. Okay? Yeah. Churches. I'll get to there next week. Example number two. A person can't get their gender right. They think they're a girl in a man's body or a man in a girl's body. And the federal government stands behind this and they affirm this. And my taxpayer dollars have to pay for their depravity. I was visiting my daughter this past Thursday. She lives in Lynchburg. She has two dogs. One's a male and one's a female. Trust me, they know the difference. And we are a society of human beings that have evolved from the lower to the higher. Even the dogs got it right. So much for evolution, folks. Example number three. A person gets convicted and spends 5 years in jail for turning back the odometer in a car. While crooked politicians can get away with murder and cover-ups and lying with no consequences, while other politicians are afraid to do anything about it. That's depravity. And fourth and final example. We all remember Tim Tebow, don't we? A football player, and I think he even played some baseball. Tim Tebow gets shunned from football for taking a knee on the sidelines because he is a Christian. But other players can take a knee in protest for their anti-American, anti-God causes without any repercussions whatsoever. Actually, they even start a movement. Folks, we live in a society of depraved and reprobate minds. Minds that are filled, as Paul says, with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. Folks, you want to know what the description of America is today? I just read it to you. And it's right from the book of Romans, chapter 1. And this is the description of every society that has fallen. And there are no exceptions. And now I'm convinced that God is abandoning this country because he is removing his restraining grace and he is allowing America to go our own way. You can go your own way. He is giving us over to a depraved, reprobate, worthless, and useless mind. And the United States of America will reap what we are sowing. Today, we looked at God's wrath of abandonment because of the depravity of, and I focus mostly on, the unbelieving world. Those people who are, they're not church people, and they don't know the difference. Next Sunday, we will look at how the church has fallen and contributed to the demise of this country. Let's pray.